B2. Number 26A.
So, good thinking and love were, so to say, the great two pillars on which general thought in the movement round about the turning of the century rested. Everything was to think good, but nobody was saying anything about ideas, only about good thoughts. Now, Kimball came along, and he tried to lift now the whole consciousness out of good thinking into the realm of mind, into the realm of mind. His teaching was that God is principle. See, he tried to exchange the term God for principle, and he would say that principle knows ideas, or must be understood through ideas. See, complete change of standpoint took place. Instead of thinking up to God as a good God, he was trying to go out from God and show that this principle only operates through ideas and must be understood through the ideas. His fundamental statements were right. The elaboration of it wasn't quite pure, as we will see. So, he had, instead of God, principle, he had, instead of thoughts, ideas, or at least the term idea. And now, what is matter? You see, the moment you have a universe of principle knowing itself only as ideas, the question comes up at once, what then matter? What is then the universe of matter? And so he had to explain what the material universe is, and said that every material belief hints to the existence of spiritual reality. As Mrs. Eddy had already taught and written in miscellaneous writings in 1886, but it was not understood. So he began to teach that being is one being, one principle, expressing itself through ideas, and that therefore the material universe were just counterfeits of ideas. A very sound teaching based on Mrs. Eddy's work. So at that time, Mr. Dory tells us that the healing method was all engaged in the question, what relationship exists therefore between the idea and the material and human universe? They could see that because ideas are the facts about the counterfeits, which is matter and disease and so on, therefore the whole practice would consist in the question, how do ideas relate to human beliefs? And so this was, so to say, the central point. The theory of Kimball, you see, is first that being is one and is all and is just mind, divine mind. Therefore, that the body must be inorganic. He speaks a lot about the body, therefore that the body must be inorganic, that it shows forth ideas which are perfect, immortal, harmonious, that therefore all men have one body, not bodies, not material bodies. And we'll see that here was the difficulty. You see, the terminology was not understood about his sense of body. He had one being, and therefore the expression of that one being was one body, which he considered to be inorganic, perfect, and so on. And that therefore all men have but one body, and that therefore the material body and the universe was just a false belief, namely a lie, which is always a lie about the truth. And you see how a right statement as this will then afterwards lead to many false interpretations if one doesn't understand it. So his point was therefore a lie, like disease, is always a lie about the truth. Therefore, the method would be, and that's not logic, therefore the method would be to exchange a lie for the truth. And it seems so reasonable, but it isn't. And why it isn't, I will show. And the reason why, because it is not logical and seemed to be logical, we had that tremendous uproar in the movement, because this statement did lend itself to many false interpretations. And I want to show you the many false interpretations that came up, therefore the dissension in the field, and therefore that whole quarreling that started between Kimballites and anti-Kimballites. Why did I say that this reasoning is not logic? It is not logic because this reasoning starts from a lie. To put in place of a lie the fact about which this lie is a lie. Starting from a lie, in every science you can't start from error and find out truth. That's not logic. That's not Mrs. Eddy's teaching, namely that in order to reason from cause to effect you start with divine mind, which must be understood through the ideas. And Kimball's teaching was mostly put on the groundwork that you start with the lie and put in its place the idea about which this lie is a lie. So, as one did this, you see, there were a few fundamental false conclusions that came up and which constituted then the false method of treatment. And you can see this false method of treatment still rampant today among the Christian scientists. For instance, he said, or the reason is, that if every material belief hints to the existence of spiritual reality, and these are Mrs. Eddy's words, as every material belief hints to the existence of spiritual reality, so they concluded that a material organ hints to a spiritual organ. Can you see to what inconsistent reasoning this leads? And so they began to say that man has not a material liver or heart, but he has a spiritual liver. Well, I know many practitioners, the old type of practitioner, that would still say that. But my dear, you have a spiritual stomach, and that is harmonious and well and perfect. So this was one of the false conclusions. Actually, when that had been brought forth, one began to see that one must put it differently. So they began to see that every idea, now they started from the top, from spirit, and said, every idea of spirit has its counterfeit in some matter belief. That was again a statement of Mrs. Eddy's from the year 1886, they took that and said, but Mrs. Eddy says now, every idea of spirit has its counterfeit in some matter belief. And so the reasoning was that therefore there is an idea of heart. If you had a material belief of heart or stomach or liver or kidney, there is a spiritual idea. So they didn't say you have a spiritual heart or a spiritual liver, but they said there is a spiritual idea heart, a spiritual idea liver. And so in treatment, if somebody came along with a heart disease, they would not anymore perhaps say you have a spiritual heart, but they would say the heart is an idea of God, which is naturally completely hideous. Heart can never be an idea of God, and your kidney can never be an idea of God, and the stomach can never be an idea of God, and your what you call an appendix you take out, it's never an idea of God, or you wouldn't be allowed to take it away, or you would disrupt God. So at that point they began to treat patients on that way, that the heart, the liver, the kidneys, they are all the ideas of God, because Kimball taught that God has one body, and that body perfect, and and incorporeal. They said, all right, man has therefore an incorporeal heart, namely a spiritual heart or a spiritual idea of heart, a spiritual idea of lung, and so on and so on. Can you see how this is still spiritualism? Mixing ideas with organs, mixing ideas with material things. And today still you hear the practitioners say, when you come, you see, with a heart disease, and says, but your heart is an idea of God, because the Bible says, love God with all your heart, so heart is an idea of God. And you just can see that dear old God, you know, having a spiritual liver, a spiritual heart, a spiritual kidney, a spiritual thing, and spiritual limbs, and spiritual muscles, and spiritual veins, and spiritual blood, and spiritual brain, and I don't know what. See, you really get a good big monster instead of God. But the trouble was, they always could heal with that. They always could heal with it, showing how much belief can heal. How much faith and belief does change the human body. So that all these healings which go on in Christian Science and outside of Christian Science as metaphysical ways of healing, that they are mostly just healings of belief, on the basis of belief, on the basis of religious faith, and so on. You see, Kimball had to struggle himself to find the right answers. For instance, one has documents from him where he has written down his main points and has written down, for instance, every organ or function of the body is an idea of God. Every organ or function of the body is an idea of God. How many of today's Christian Scientists would subscribe to that? Say, well, God really is the idea, really every organ and function of your body is an idea of God. And then he gave that manuscript to Mrs. Eddy, and she just traced it out and put on top of it, it is a lie. Then he would write, your hands are ideas of God, which manifest his power, freedom, and perfection. Your hands are ideas of God. And Mrs. Eddy traced it out and corrected it, a lie. Can you see that even Kimball, in his beginning of the first century, of this century, still had to struggle with that concept, what are ideas? Because Mrs. Eddy would say, every idea of a spirit has its counterfeit in a material belief. So, if the counterfeit as a material belief is a material hand, then it must be the counterfeit of the idea hand. That God has the idea hand, but the idea heart, the idea lung, and so on. And Mrs. Eddy corrected it by saying it's a lie. So they said, well, what are these ideas? You see, they still haven't got the answer. And so they asked further and said, well, if every idea of spirit has its counterfeit in the material belief, and we have hearts and lungs and stomachs to deal with, what then is the idea if there isn't an idea of heart and an idea of lungs and so on? And so they made a step forward and said, well, then perhaps the heart is the counterfeit of the idea of love, because we love with our heart. Or the brain is a counterfeit of the idea intelligence. You see? And so they began to make a whole list, so to say, of all the material beliefs we have to deal with, all the organs, all the functions of the body, and I don't know what, all the pulpit in the church, and the curtains in the church, and the stools in the church, they all are material beliefs about an idea. The pulpit was an idea in the church about the idea of teaching. The curtains, I think, were a belief about the idea of secrecy or something like that, and so on and so on, of comfort and so on. So every organ was now considered as an idea of, say, the heart, the idea of love, the stomach, the idea of the divine digest or anything like that. And so they began to treat patients on that ground. It was already a bit the higher sense, you see, and so they attributed to every organ an idea. Who did that? Who said that the heart is counterfeiting the idea of love? Who said that? They took it from their feelings, from their experience or anything, but it hasn't any scientific background, authority behind it. Because in the textbook, Mrs. Eddy would never say a thing like that. And so, don't you agree that today most practitioners still work on that? You know? That every part of the body is really indicating an idea which they found was right, which they thought was right. So if somebody came along with a foot disease, a disease on its extremities, they would heal it, that God's opportunities... How is it? Main extremities, you see, are God's opportunities. We laugh at it, but we didn't laugh at the other one. You see that the heart indicates love. Why should the heart indicate love? Nobody has ever found in the heart love. Quite on the contrary, we should see from all the organs, I think man has the heart is that which is most the mechanical one, and perhaps it's the first one that can be replaced by a machine. So why should the heart be loved? Just because we have a feeling in here, you see, that if you love somebody here, something is quite warm. Why not on the toe? Well, but this is reasoning from matter, from sensation to idea, which is wrong. The whole reasoning at that time was always from material beliefs which hint to an idea, and that hinting to an idea was all based on guesswork. It was all guesswork. And not science. Yes. Oh, we nearly have an hour. You know, this story is so interesting. I could go on for hours, you see. And see how it developed slowly and slowly. I think an interesting point is just the same. I have to take it. Kimball, you know, he was a brave man, actually. And he always got into trouble. Whenever he made a step forward, he got into a new trouble. And in his troubles, he always went to Mrs. Eddy and said, "Now, come on, tell me, see." And so he would talk it over with Mrs. Eddy, because Mrs. Eddy had chosen him for many times to be the teacher and the teacher of the teacher's class and so on. So he wanted to be sure that he was teaching something right. And so we have two great letters from him, the Hinsdale letter and the letter which he wrote to Judge Hannah in 1907. And in those two letters he really shows forth the main points of his teaching. In that later letter to Judge Hannah, when Judge Hannah had to teach the normal class in 1907, he presented his teaching so to make it clear what his position was. And in this he tells about his conversation which he had with Mrs. Eddy. Kimball said, "There is a certain teaching going on, especially by Dr. Baker, who was always on the basis of denial. He just denied the organ. If you had a disease on your hand, his treatment would be to deny that God's man has a hand. Deny all the organs. If you had a stomach disease, he just would deny you have no stomach because God's man has no stomach." Seems so reasonable, you know? Seems so reasonable. If the spiritual man has no stomach, then you say, all right, then he has no stomach. So you can treat him and saying he has no stomach. And it seems so logic, but it isn't logic. It isn't logic because it takes only one sector out of the whole, and then things are always seen in a different perspective, and then they can be wrong. So Mrs. Eddy supported Kimball and said, "Oh no, you know, I said to Dr. Baker," she said, "I said to Dr. Baker, you can't just say you have no hand, because Jesus said to the widow then, stretch it forth. Stretch stretch forth thine hand. He didn't say you have no hand. And so he was more confirmed in this point that with affirming and denying that method is not really right. And at that time Mrs. Eddy complains that so and so many patients just died because the practitioner just would deny the organ and putting nothing in its place. Then he goes on and says that he talked over that whole question of if there is a spiritual liver or an idea of liver and so on. And so Mrs. Eddy said, and this is rather important to see what Mrs. said to him, because she would never say that in her textbook, and she herself would never heal in that way. But that's why I say it's interesting, because one can see that she always had to reduce it to the point where the whole field was. She never really could, in such instances, give the whole cake, the whole vision, because she just knew they couldn't take it. So she said the treatment should be declare, I have a perfect liver, and let the spiritual import of this declaration destroy the false concept about liver. Nothing of this is in the textbook. We would never today treat it in this way. But at that point it was a higher concept. Instead of saying liver is the counterfeit of a spiritual liver, or is the counterfeit of the ideal liver, she just took it right down to the human and said, all right, declare that you have a perfect liver. You have a liver. Don't deny that you have a liver. But declare that you have a perfect liver. And that the spiritual import of this declaration destroys the false concept about liver. Then she says, and this is important, then she said to him, she said, you know, you may declare, I have a perfect liver, or, and now the other one, or there is no liver. Exactly what she reproached to Dr. Baker that he would say. He said he was treating the patient by saying, you have no hand. And she said, but that only kills it off. But she said, I, Mrs. Eddy, can deal with that way. I can declare there is no liver, provided the thought back to this declaration is right. But he didn't tell what the thought behind this declaration is. So she said, I can do that, but don't do that and don't teach it, because it was too early. So Kimball went into the field and taught his students, and his students were practicing that way, and apparently with great success, just always declaring that the idea of which liver is a false concept is perfect. The idea of which liver is a false concept is perfect. But nowhere could he tell what that idea is. You see, he only said the idea of which the perfect liver is a false concept is actually perfect. So the idea is perfect. But what that idea is, nobody knew. Nobody has been taught. They couldn't at that time. Or he said, just declare, we have a perfect liver in God. Now, I know it's a bit difficult for you to sit and listen then and have that not right in front of your eyes to follow one step after the other, but I think within about 5 months or so, this will be published in a book where I give the whole development of the Christian Science practice in a pamphlet of about 80 pages or so. So in about a few months you can have it in writing. But here I just want to give you the atmosphere of it, you see, what happened at that time. That Kimball began to teach there is a principle, and principle expresses itself in ideas. But he hadn't the faintest idea what an idea is, and how he could explain what ideas are and what illusions are. And from that ignorance from that point, which couldn't answer what our ideas, all those false conclusions were reached.
And so we can see the flaw, can you say the flaw in his teachings? Namely, the first thing which we could see is that he was teaching that principle has ideas, but he didn't teach yet at that time what these ideas are. Naturally, he would say that mind has power or that there is law and so on, but there was no clear analysis yet of what ideas are. And therefore, if we do not know what ideas are, we do not know what counterfeits are. Can you see? Therefore, if a material belief is a counterfeit of an idea, we would have to know what are counterfeits. And in his Hinstate letter, naturally, he goes into that great question, what are primary and secondary counterfeits? I can't go into this question, or I wouldn't have time enough. So let's just recapitulate and see. The flaws in his teaching was that though he was teaching that there are ideas, he didn't teach what the ideas are. Second, the method of teaching usually started from the material belief. Namely, somebody came along and said, I have a liver disease. And so reasoned from liver back to the idea. And all that reasoning is false. Whenever we start from a material proposition, from the problem itself, we never arrive at the truth. A further point is that, naturally, in this treatment, you say that my diagnosis is right. But none of us is a medical man and can diagnose the case. Somebody comes along and says, well, I have a liver disease, but it may be something very different. So it starts from a ignorant material diagnosis, which is not right either. And not even medical people can always diagnose aright, especially not at that time. And therefore, all treatment going out from a human, material, and ignorant diagnosis must be wrong anyway. A further point is that they were treating the effect of disease, the effect of the problem, namely the body, and not the mental cause. If you go out from an organ, well, that's the effect. If you go out from a name of disease, that's the effect. Whereas the teaching of Christian Science says that we have to go to the bottom of all mental action and see what is the belief behind a disease. So the healing was mostly concentrated really on healing the body and not the man. And therefore, that whole period was a period of really trying to establish physical harmony. But as we know from Mrs. Eddy's prose work, that is the first step, and that she left the science of spiritual harmony to be unfolded in the later years. There she makes some prophecy that in the later years, in the 30s, there will be seen the science of spiritual harmony. But at that time, all they could demonstrate was the science of physical harmony. But she said, when the platforms of Christian Science will be thoroughly drilled in their plainer spiritual armament, then the next step will be possible, namely that we treat on the science of spiritual harmony. So, this is the period of Kimball, and so we can see, though a lot of healing and beautiful healing, great healing, have been achieved at that time, it was mostly on the ground of belief, of good belief, of religious belief. And this is really what one experienced so often. I remember in my earlier days how I went to these nice, wonderful old practitioners in London, you know, who had begun to practice around about 1900. I began to ask them about their healing, and they said, all said the same thing. They said, you know, at the beginning, around about 1900, healing was so easy. We were so flabbergasted at the effect of our treatment. We could hardly believe that we did heal. So surprising the healing was. And then came the second sentence, but today we can't do it anymore. That was the general feeling already around about 1935 and so on. Showing that at that time Mrs. Eddy's consciousness was really sustaining the field, but that the healing of the individual were mostly based on religious belief, on the wonderful sense that God is love, and that through mentality you can heal disease.